fly sequence
now. What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
Can we acknowledge the elephant in the room?
What's that?
Man, that shirt's something else. And you did not have that on right before the show.
I was wearing a different shirt. You know why? I spilled coffee on it.
You stripped off when the open started. And I got to tell you, I left my sunglasses in the car. I'm not saying I don't like it. I just saying I wanted a warning.
Bill, if you will, or on Twitter, at the Capman. I'm digging the threads, Cap. Pink looks good on you, man. Tell at David Haw to change it up with blue and red shirts.
773 on the text line. Cap shirt's gonna give me pink eye.
Pink on my head.
I'm colorblind and I can tell that shirt is obnoxious.
When I was at the golf course last Thursday, I walked into the pro shop. I said, hey, what's the shirt in here that no one else would buy? And he's like,
that's so you.
He goes, I got that lime one there and that pink one there. I'm like, pink, sold.
Yeah, that's a good look. Well, you're not gonna get lost in any wooded golf course.
Floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Baltic Stone scores!
Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Well, Bruce, great way to start the morning. Greatest rock and roller of all time. Welcome in. Kevin Haw, Comcast SportsNet WGN Plus. He's David Haw, lead columnist of the Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. And Pat Castell, PG-13, our great director. Good morning, D-Haw.
Morning, Pinky.
I toned it down today.
Yeah, it's a little toned down. A muted pink. It's nice. Was that a Butler National? Again, no.
Merritt Club.
Okay, Merritt Club or Butler National. You're still bucking for the free round. But
if it's for free, it's for me.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
Doing well. Last night, watched as long as I could possibly hang in there with the White Sox.
I went to bed. It was 1-0 Cardinals. I'm like, eh, whatever.
Game started at 9:04. Three rain delays. I guess if you're going to bump the Cap and Haw rewind, you might as well make it worth everyone's while
and
finish the job. So while you slept, the White Sox swept.
How about that?
A two-game sweep.
Thank you, White Sox. Cubs pick up two games in the last 2 days on the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because they're really going to come back to earth. But how do you explain this? How do you explain this phenomenon we call baseball? We have the Cubs go into St. Louis and look like a team that's reminded of the pecking order in the NL Central. And they just wear down the Cardinals to the point where they have nothing left to beat the White Sox, who's the worst team in the American League.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Tyler Flowers is on a tear. And I repeat, Tyler Flowers is on a tear.
Another home run.
How about that? So you had the White Sox staying up late to take care of the Cardinals after the Cubs shut out again the Mets.
Cubbies moved to 9.5 out, buddy.
Really? Single digits?
9.5, baby.
They got a half game lead in the wild card, right?
And
second wild card?
They do.
Over the Giants?
And they have a 4-game series with the Cardinals at our place next week.
It's too early for that. Just worry about the
Do you believe in magic?
Wild card standings.
In a young girl's heart.
They do believe in magic. They're having fun with this. The Cubs are fun to watch. They're having fun with each other. They're enjoying the ride, and the magic theme is going to take off if this continues.
I said that to you in the office.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they're in the race in September, this whole magic deal? So Rizzo slides into third. He's out by 100 feet, and he pulls his leg back, and the guy whiffs on him.
That was a tremendous slide, and at one point, as you watch the replay, Cap, didn't you sort of cringe like, ooh, so lucky he didn't hurt himself, because the way he twisted his knee and ankle back, very actually agile. That was a really agile move, but you worried about him doing something, you know, that a guy that size isn't supposed to do.
So get this. I was working out yesterday, and I'm talking to a guy I see all the time at the club, buddy of mine, my buddy Zach. And he said, guess what? Last week the Cubs had a day game at home against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He said at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he looks up and there's a guy pounding the weights. He looks at him. He's like, what's Anthony Rizzo doing in here? Anthony Rizzo and his trainer doing core work, lifting.
During the day?
During the day, and had a game that night.
What time during the day?
Middle of the day.
Oh, they had a game that night.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant they had a day game and he was at East Bank pumping iron.
Pumping iron. He said, working hard.
So he works
out. That guy's a monster and he's jacked.
He's really having a good year.
Yeah.
He's really doing well. He's played, you know, clutch hitting, good defense. He's their leader. How about Starlin Castro last night? Respecting 90, beating out the infield hit for the game-winning RBI.
Loved it.
You've got to like to see that from a Cubs perspective, you know, and get away from the whole every conversation about Starlin Castro doesn't have to begin and end with, are you going to trade him? How about just acknowledging the fact that a guy whose hustle and concentration has been brought into question often in this town beats out an infield single to get the game-winning RBI.
Derek Idstein on Twitter. Boys, that was the fastest Starlin has ever run. Joe Maddon has finally knocked the lazy out of him. Respect 90.
He was moving. You saw him. He knew exactly what was at stake there when he was going down the line. He was really, really – he was committed to beating that out. Give him credit. And then, you know, because he averted disaster in the eighth inning. Was it the eighth inning where he almost made an error there that could have really been costly?
Almost made an error or did make an error?
Yeah, he did.
He made a bad throw. And the Riz couldn't scoop it.
It didn't hurt them, and they're lucky it didn't hurt them.
Nick Karen on Twitter makes a great point. Bryant failing to move Rizzo to third with less than two outs. That's a mistake. In his next AB, a base running gaffe. Not good. Those are rookie mistakes that cannot happen.
Well, they didn't do everything perfect, but I have to say this. John Lester.
He was really good.
He looked like the John Lester he needs to be.
Yep.
That's one good start. Do it again. You know, you have to give him credit, and as I did that last night on the Twitter machine, I was reminded that this was the New York Mets, basically the AAA equivalent of a major, you know, their AAA affiliate, because they don't have a lot of offense. They've been shut out two games in a row. Cubs pitching has been great, but the Mets are struggling offensively.
They are.
In a bad way. First time since 1973, I believe, that the Cubs have shut out the New York Mets in back-to-back games in New York.
How about that?
It's a long time. That's good pitching. So Lester was really in command. Although I say in command, maybe that's the wrong way to describe it, Cap. I mean, he did not start off looking like a guy that was going to give you seven scoreless. He started out, you know, nibbling. A little bit, it wasn't as fluid or smooth or as confident as he got as the game went on. But he did what he needed to do, and the bullpen was great. And this magic thing is just, you can see Anthony Rizzo was at the making the rounds on social media, mouthing after, was it after
magic.
The slide? It's magic. It's magic. Throwing out the first pitch for game one of the wild card.
Simon the Magician.
Or Magic Johnson.
Very good.
There you go.
Do you believe in magic, David?
Do I believe
in a young girl's heart? How the music could free her whenever it starts?
Okay.
And it's magic if the music is groovy. It makes you feel happy like an old-time movie.
You're just reading the lyrics. You're not actually memorizing them. Although that's an easy song to memorize. That's an easy song to memorize.
But I pulled them up just to make sure I was accurate.
Yeah, you were off key a little bit, but that's fine. So we have the Cubs to talk about. We have the Sox to talk about.
That's a good point, Mike. Magic Johnson owns the Dodgers. He's not throwing out the first pitch.
He's got a lot of business interests in Chicago, though.
Maybe they don't make the playoffs, Mike. And he
says,
you know, I was listening to Cap and Haw. David Haw's right. I got a lot of business interests here.
He does.
Movie theaters and all sorts of stuff. So guess what? I'm going to help them. He rooted for the Clippers when the Lakers didn't make
absolutely.
The playoffs.
He has been spotted at a press conference.
See, he's not so petty like you, Mike. You're a petty man.
Yeah, he's a friend of the mayor. You can see Magic Johnson at Wrigley Field. Who knows?
See, Mike roots against people that he considers adversaries.
Okay.
Magic is a more welcoming, warm person like us.
Away from baseball, 9:55, Jamal Mayers. Will talk to him about the Blackhawks' comings and goings, and they said goodbye to two more veterans who helped them win a cup. Brad Richards and Antoine
Vermette
went back home to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? That's like a true rental. I was like, okay, you're going to leave, you come back, and you're going to bring your Stanley Cup memories with you.
And he'll be moving to Vegas shortly.
Maybe.
That's a done deal.
You just love the New York Post.
Done deal.
They're never wrong.
Done deal.
Vincent Goodwill, our guy in studio from CSNChicago.com, will talk about the Bulls who are keeping the gang together. Mike Dunleavy, Jimmy Butler in the fold. And at 11:10, looking forward to this, Chris Ranji from the White Sox Radio Network, our friend from The Score as well, had an interesting pregame interview with Don Cooper yesterday, where Coop was probably said some things that upset Sox fans about their support for one Chris Sale. Also, we could talk to Chris Ranji about his opinion that managers don't matter.
Yep, we'll get to all of that. Cap and Hop brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. 312-235-2525. In honor of the 4th of July, MyPillow conducting a Made in America sale for our great Cap and Hop audience. 2-for-1 MyPillows all week long. MyPillow guarantees to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. First night you sleep on a MyPillow, you'll understand why they've sold over 5 million of these bad boys. 4 support levels conforming to your preferred shape. A built-in cooling effect keeps your head cool throughout the night. Perfect for summer sleeping. MyPillow has a 10-year, will-not-go-flat warranty. They'll even let you sleep on it for 60 nights, and it's not the very best you ever owned. No refund, 100% of the purchase price. You'll love these pillows. And right now, 2-for-1 MyPillows. Promo code's CAP, K-A-P, MyPillow.com or 800-299. 5854, 800-299-5854. My buddy Scott Zegner over at Comcast Sportsnet said, are you just selling those? You really like the pillow? I bought the pillows, Scott. They're the best in the world. MyPillow.com, promo code KAP, 2-for-1 this week. 312-235-2525. How about LeBron versus Floyd Mayweather in earnings? We'll tell you about that. You won't believe it right after this.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Toward third, charged by Murphy. Not going to be an easy play. Throw to first, save. Cubs lead 1-0. Infield hit Starlin Castro. 1-0 Cubs here in the 11th.
Give Starlin some credit. Slow roller to third. He beats it out legitimately. That's the game winner. He played a really good shortstop again tonight. The bullpen was fabulous. My takeaway is this, win or lose that game tonight, I am really proud of the way our guys have been playing baseball. There is no quit. There's no giving up. We're a little bit challenged offensively right now, and a lot of times teams will sink because of that. We have not, and I really appreciate that a lot.
He appreciates a lot. That's Joe Maddon after you heard sweet Lenny Casper on the call. Starlin getting the lazy out of him and busting his tail down the line.
That's a backhanded compliment. You don't have to do that.
That's what the Twitter machine said.
Stop calling it the Twitter machine. Someone's bothered that I called it the Twitter machine. I got a texter saying, why is he calling it the Twitter machine? It's not a machine. Thank you.
I actually called it the Google machine.
I know.
And I had someone at work go, you know, Google's not a machine. It's a website. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm aware. Thanks.
Got to get that. Anyway.
Aware.
How about that? Starlin Castro hustles the Cubs after today. They play one or two more against the Mets. After today, they come home for, is this right, Cap? We're getting a text from Jeff, 608 in Texas. Cubs play 30 of the next 47 at home.
I believe that's accurate.
Wow. That's an opportunity.
Opportunity. In fact, if you look at their schedule, I have to pull it up, but if you look at their schedule, it's much more favorable than this month was. It's a tough series.
Well, they have risen. They have played to the level of their competition, and they have been very good against the best in the National League. And they have become the best in the National League by doing that, one of the best teams. Now, nobody is going to win anything being a first-half surprise or being a first-half, you know, a team that has been ahead of schedule. You've got to continue this, but it's encouraging.
All right, so finish with the Metropolitans today, day game.
Yeah.
Then you got the Marlins here for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then you get the Cardinals for 4. Monday, day-night double dip on Tuesday and Wednesday. Day off, you got the White Sox for 3, then the All-Star break. That's all at home.
You've got the Marlins and the White Sox, 2 of your next 3 series. That is an opportunity.
And the Cardinals are a huge
You're probably going to see Chris Sale. They're pushing him back a day, which is interesting, giving him a little rest. It looks like Chris Sale could be pitching Saturday at Wrigley, perhaps. Boy, that's going to be a great matchup.
That'd be awesome. especially if it's Lester Sale or Arrieta Sale. Oh, or Amel. So you got those three. Then you have the All-Star break. Then you go to Atlanta for three, to the Reds for four, including a doubleheader because of a makeup of a rainout April 25th. Then you come home and you play the Phillies for three, mm-hmm. the Rockies for three at home. Then you go to Milwaukee and you play the Crew in Milwaukee for four, I believe. And then three at the Pirates. Then home for the Giants, the Brewers, at the White Sox, home with the Tigers, Braves, Indians, Giants, Dodgers on the road, and the Reds. That closes out August. You have a chance with that huge number of home games to make a little run here.
I think what you've just described is an equation that will add up to September being meaningful. And it's been a while since I've been able to say that for the Cubs or the Sox. But I think September is going to mean something to baseball fans in this town. And, boy, finally that could be the case if they could continue this. You know, they have an opportunity here. What did you think last night watching that game? And it was close and, you know, every out mattered and every in the ninth inning cap. So Jason Mott gets the call. He strikes out two, right? And then you bring in Justin Grimm. And
oh, Jason Mott pitched an entire inning.
Okay, he pitched. Yeah, he pitched. I'm sorry, he did. He pitched an entire inning. And but when they went to Justin Grimm to get his first major league save, what was your reaction?
I was good with it.
What was the rationale, do you think, behind it?
Well, they let Russell start the inning. Mm-hmm. He got, I think, the first
two guys. I'm sorry, that's how it worked out. You went to Mott, who had been closing.
Right.
Which you used him in a different role.
Game was
tied. Which was a little surprising.
Yeah, they went right to him to keep the game tied.
So then you go to Russell, and then you make the you move to Grimm.
After Russell gave up a hit with two outs.
But Grimm in that situation is not a guy who has been in that situation before.
No, but they went matchup. They went righty-righty or lefty-lefty. Let Russell start it, and then when the guy got on, they went to Grimm, and he's got some dirty stuff.
Well, it was almost too dirty. I mean, there was some there were some wild pitches there that Montero at one point looked out at the boundary and was like, come on, man. You're killing me here. Because he was snapping off that curveball, and it was going about 59 feet. Cap, and it was in the dirt, and he was making him work for every to prevent every wild pitch. I didn't even think he had a wild pitch.
And David Ross went out to Lester early in the game and said, dude, let's go.
Yeah.
It was like, what, eight pitches in?
That's what I mean. He didn't look like a guy in command early, but the longer he was on the mound, John Lester kind of got it. Excuse me. But I still don't know, this whole bullpen by committee, is that sustainable?
I don't know if I'd call it bullpen by committee.
Well, how would you call it? Justin Grimm gets his first major league save.
Well, because it was an extra inning affair.
Justin Grimm gets his first major league save. Jason Mott is a guy you've been going to. You've got Soriano kind of getting warm somewhere, and you didn't start the season that way.
He's in the Dominican. He would be getting warm.
You know what I'm getting at. Also talking about Papelbon possibly on the way.
Well,
what is the answer?
Jason Mott is your closer. He is your closer.
Right now. What about next week?
As long as he continues to throw like he's throwing yesterday, 97. I mean, he had some dirty stuff. Dirty. And I'm watching the game with my wife, who's just the most negative fan to watch a game with. Brutal. Love her dearly. But, jeez. Mott went to 3-0, I think, on the first hitter. I think the first hitter, he went to 3-0. She's like, okay, he doesn't have it. Get him out. And I'm like, would you relax? It's one batter in.
So what does she think about John Lester?
Oh, she's been just all upset that he hasn't pitched well. She's a big Cub fan.
312 asks a question. Hope the Cubs aren't getting too cocky. They haven't won anything yet, but they act and talk as if they have. Is there a danger of any sort
cocky?
Of – I don't want to say cocky, but some people may look at this whole – narrative of having fun and believing in magic and start to get a little bit like, boy, they're really...
Well, what do they want them to do? Just be very quiet and morose?
No, but I've gotten a couple of those kind of emails from Cubs.
Yeah, Sox fans.
Probably so. Yeah, okay, probably so. There's no downside to enjoying the ride.
Having fun.
Yeah, especially with a manager that encourages it to the degree that he does.
He does.
It's much better than the alternative sitting here on July 2nd and talking about flipping players, who you're going to get for the next prospect, and spending every 30 minutes of every morning looking at the Iowa Cubs highlights.
Yeah, it's so much more fun this way.
When's the last time you looked at an Iowa Cub highlight?
I watched the Baez highlight before he broke his finger.
So that was a while ago.
Yeah.
That was like a month.
Yeah.
If you'd have gone 30 days last summer without looking at the Iowa Cubs.
Finfer and I were in here every morning at like 6:30 watching Iowa Cub highlights for half an hour.
Come here, come here, come here. Look at this. Look at this.
Look at Addison Russell at Double A Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Can we get? Are we going to book the Iowa Cubs play-by-play guy today or the hitting coach?
Right. Are we having Randy Wehofer on today?
Give me a break. MILB.com. Enough already.
Hey, by the way, so LeBron James in his career, just salary.
Okay.
May I tease this? I don't want to
pay it off. Pay off the tease.
LeBron has made $150 million in his career so far.
Just from basketball.
Just salary. Mm-hmm. Not endorsements, nothing. Floyd Money Mayweather on May the 2nd in his fight with Manny Pacquiao just got his final checks. $220 to $230 million as they compute the pay-per-view. He's made $70 to $80 million more in one day than LeBron's made in a career.
That's sick. That's for one night's work, essentially.
Did you see the car he bought?
No.
He bought a $5 million car.
Why is there a $5 million car?
It's a great investment.
What if you take a $5 million car over a pothole? I mean, how much damage do you do if you, you know, have a flat tire?
Hey,
or a
I had
bender?
A player who will remain nameless that I coached. He got drafted high, went and bought like a $125,000 Mercedes. This is back in the day when that was like a $300,000 car. Didn't realize he needed insurance, and he wrecked it. Gone.
Didn't realize he needed insurance. You didn't coach him that well then, Cap. You didn't prepare him for the game of life.
We talked to him about managing his money.
That's such a good...
I didn't think I had to get it.
You were all basketball. Hey, 708, Sox beat the Cardinals, the best team in baseball, and you're talking Cubs. Really? Okay, we'll get to the Sox. We have some things to think.
Well, he's talked
about
so
the Sox.
Much Sox the last week, so that 708, you really need to just kind of dial it back.
Yeah, no, he's got a point, though. They did beat the best team in baseball. We'll get to the Sox because Don Cooper said some interesting things. And
Chris Ronji will be on the show.
Yeah, and Jose Quintana was dealing once again.
He was. 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by ABT. Apt Electronics in Glenview. Apt.com. Check out their great website and ask for our friend, the one and only, the best, Steve Shapiro. Apt.com. Quick timeout, Debbie and Kenosha. Hang on, Sparkles. We'll get to you. 312-235-2525. Cap'n Haw.
Now back to Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
That ball get hard in the right field. Stretch. Stretch. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. A line drive, and the Sox lead it 2-1. That ball hit deep. They look up. You can put it on the ball. Yes. A bomb again by Tyler Flowers. And it's a 4-1 Sox lead.
Thank you, Hawkaroo, on Comcast Sportsnet. This is Cap'n Haw on that same station. CSN Chicago and WGN Plus. White Sox, the thumping of the Cardinals, 7-1. They win a couple in a row in St. Louis.
Yeah, I wouldn't
and get
carried
today
away
off.
With
then Baltimore is in.
The theme music here. Nobody's putting this season to music unless it's a funeral march. It's still a lot not to like, but you have to give credit where credit is due. The bullpen came up big last night. They beat the best team in baseball 2 games in a row. Zach Putnam, Zach Duke, Jake Patryka, they were big last night after Quintana. You know, it's not easy to maintain your focus and these things through all the rain delays. When the game starts at 9:04 and you start to get yourself ready and, you know, in the state of mind to pitch and your body ready and all those things that he overcame, it's, you know, pitchers, athletes are creatures of habit. So you had a rain delay of 1 hour and 49 minutes, and then another one of 14 and 16 minutes. The last out was made at 12:51. That was a long night.
That was long checking out the back of my eyelids.
But it was well worth it for the Sox, who beat John Lackey, and they get a day off. And, yeah, it's been a difficult week. It's been a difficult stretch, but you have to celebrate the little things, and last night was something worth celebrating. Even though they overcame some shaky, it's, I don't want to say shaky defense. There were, the conditions challenged them in the outfield because it was wet. Melky Cabrera kind of came up a little bit awkward on a fly ball he couldn't get to. Adam Eaton let one go under his glove. And then he had a shaky base running experience again. So they overcame some of those things. But when you get pitching as good as the Sox have gotten the last two nights, good things happen.
312-235-2525 is our phone number. White Sox again off today. And the Baltimore Orioles, who are playing very good baseball as of late, will roll into town tomorrow. Sox desperately need to get on a 5-6-7 game roll here.
Both teams at home this weekend. That doesn't happen a lot.
And they've both been gone. That doesn't happen a lot either.
Yeah, that doesn't happen a lot. And both teams have competing homestands. So that will be over the holiday weekend, give fans some options. And it will be interesting to keep a check of the Sox attendance at the next Chris Sale start, because Don Cooper was on the Score yesterday before the game and essentially was saying that, again, challenging Sox fans to do what they did in St. Louis, come out to see Chris Sale pitch. He alluded to being a New Yorker and the Mets and Yankees would fill the park for a guy like Chris Sale. And he said the only place that doesn't happen is Chicago. And it's not the first time he's taken a little bit of a shot at Sox fans, which if you or I do that, people in the media, people at other teams, people from rival teams, I think that it's, understood. There's some built-in disadvantages that we have all, talked about ad nauseum about the sell. But when it comes from somebody that's been there for so long, a guy who is, he's a White Sox through and through. Stings a little bit, probably. I don't know. Maybe fans are used to hearing Coop be Coop. He's candid. He's off the cuff. We like him for that. But I just wonder if what he says about not supporting Chris Sale, bothers a frustrated fan base and makes him even a little bit more ticked off. I don't know. I could see how what he said might have bothered some people.
I would think it would bother some people. But that's Coop. Coop being Coop. He's always direct. He is always honest to a fault. And he's a damn good pitching coach. 312-235-2525. Chris Bryant and Dexter Fowler out of today's lineup in the series finale in New York. Cubs win. They would sweep. A loss. They would meatloaf the Mets.
What's the deal with Chris Bryant?
I think just a day off.
I know Fowler's been nursing that ankle, probably playing through a little pain. Bryant is...
Bryant didn't hit behind the runner and get
striking out.
Rizzo over. After he doubled and then made a bad base running mistake, he thought Rizzo was going to come home. Some people are blaming Gary Jones, the third base coach. Rizzo would have been out back to our office. No shot.
Also went down looking early and challenged. Spend a little longer time talking to the home plate umpire than you'd like to see a rookie do. Would you acknowledge that? I mean, do you think that?
He was not happy. You can tell he's frustrated.
He's frustrated. He is frustrated. You don't want rookies given home plate umpire second looks and saying anything really though, right? They go down looking, you return to the dugout. That's how you gain respect in the majors.
It was close.
Well, it doesn't matter if it was close. You strike out, you go back. I mean, you're not going to get those calls as a rookie, even if you're Chris Bryant. You're not going to get every call. You're not.
So you never got called for PI as a young player at Ball State and said to the back judge, "The hell are you calling?"
I don't think I did. No, I don't think I did.
Did you ever get flagged for?
Oh God, yeah.
Yelling at a ref?
Oh, no. Not yelling at a ref, no. You had some, you never feel like you
pass interference, four defense, 15-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
Yeah, I heard that a few times.
When we would go see Garrett play, you'd see the flag and be like, please, no. Holding, 60 on the offense. We'd be like, whew, he's 78. And then he got nailed one.
Yeah.
Holding. When
they started identifying offensive linemen by their numbers, who committed the penalty, it was much better in the days where they just said holding offense.
Right.
Now they're kind of calling the people out.
Holding, 78 offense, 10-yard penalty, replay, first down.
You're never going to win that battle, though, with the umpire, referee, whatever, so you might as well just accept the bad news and move on.
Right, because if you really tick them off, they're going to nail you for anything they can.
It's going to make a bad situation worse, and you're not going to get the next call.
Sir Lawrence in Michigan. Hey, Larry, what's going on there, Spunky?
Hey, Larry.
How you doing today, you guys?
Good.
Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Got two comments. One just came up immediate when you were talking about Gary Jones there. Probably was Brian's fault, but I would give the error to Jones. I've seen him a couple times this year send guys from shallow left field trying to score. I think Ryan Sandberg would be a super replacement for him down there.
Oh, I don't know.
That's not happening.
I doubt that happens.
No, it wouldn't. I don't think so. But the other comment, nobody's talking about it. I've been watching it all year. John Lester's been just getting beat up on his fastball. Bad location has been killing him, and he don't have a fastball that, you know, he might be throwing 92, but they're clobbering him.
Clobbering him?
Clobbering him on that fastball. He's been pitching good when he's throwing the off-speed and the curve, but
well, his fastball's been sitting 92-93, which is always where he's been. He's fine. I said that the other day. He's fine. Relax, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, Larry?
Thanks, Larry. And don't you dare question John Lester's fastball.
Just relax. Thank you. We're good.
Okay, I know. What's the Mets AAA affiliate?
Norfolk.
Rochester?
Isn't it Norfolk?
Norfolk. I think it's Rochester, maybe. Well, whatever. The AAA Mets, I thought they didn't clobber anything John Lester had to offer last night. I think they went down meekly.
Here, Mike, you're the big capital. How would I know what the Mets AAA team is? I thought it's Norfolk Tides.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is Norfolk Tides. Well, the Norfolk Tides were no match for John Lester last night. So I think you should celebrate his return and say that he is back to being dominant.
Len Casper had some choice words for people like you making snide remarks that it was the
what
Mets.
What did he have to say?
He said, for those of you out there going, well, it's just the Mets. He did his job. They're major league hitters, and he got them out.
I'm tongue-in-cheek with those comments were because I'm less inclined to agree with those who are questioning it. It's still major league hitters, okay? But I still am not going to go as far as you are in saying, well, John Lester has one good start, so
relax, I'm fine. I told you that before that start.
You told me that all year. You've been blind to the whole struggles of a John Lester because you want to believe what you want to believe, and that is that he is going to be worth every penny of $155 million.
When he's closing out a World Series, absolutely. Get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curve Ultra HD. You get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in the app today, ABT, and see the complete selection of Samsung Electronics. Or call them up 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's apt. ABT. App.com. App pleasing people. It's 1936. Quick timeout. Debbie in Kenosha has a Blackhawk question. Rich in Antioch has a White Sox question. Nathan and Old Don has a Bulls question. It's a cornucopia of sports. Next with Cap and Haw.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus.
Runners go, swing and a miss. Out.
Cars.
Yep. Oh. I saw the Cars in concert.
Oh, I love the Cars.
They're a better studio band than they are a concert band.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of bands fall in that category.
Yeah. But they're good. Saw them at the Rockford Speedway.
Gotta like that. Shake It Up. That was circa 1986, I believe.
That's probably when I went to the concert. It was Ian Hunter, Head East, Cars, REO Speedwagon.
Oh, bring me back, Cap.
Way back.
High school. Those were the days.
Those Rick Ocasek, baby. Rick Ocasek.
Oh, man. Love the Cars.
Okay, who was he married to?
I don't know who he was married to. I was 17.
That would
16.
Be Heather Locklear.
Was he really?
I believe so.
Oh, I loved the Heather Locklear back in the day.
She was smoking.
Oh, wow.
That is the Anthony Rizzo Steel Ridiculously Great
Shake
Slide, all courtesy of our friends at WGN Television, where you heard Len Casper and Big Jim DeShave.
Oh, man, I'm going to have a hard time getting all nostalgic.
I might play some cars today when
Let's
I'm working
the cars
out.
Back. Huh? It's a good workout. It's a good workout tape.
And don't forget, tomorrow, Len and JD will be broadcasting the game on CSN, live from the bleachers.
And you'll be there, too.
And Holly and I will be on the field doing the pregame show.
Day game.
So looking forward to it.
That'll be fun.
Looking forward to it. 312, pre-post from the field. 312-235-2525.
Before we get to the phone calls, we got a cornucopia of sports thoughts on the phone lines.
We do.
Texters, actually two texts, same idea. Okay. Sox were in a bad way going into St. Louis. They win two straight against the best team in baseball. Could this be used as the beginning of something that leads to a turnaround in your mind?
Yeah, I think they're a better team than they've shown, so sure. But a team is what a team is. Their record is what they are, what their record says they are, as Bill Parcells once said. How many games into this now are we? 90 games in?
No, you're halfway. We're at the halfway point. We're halfway through the season. You're definitely
What's
at
their record?
The Sox now are 33-42. Well, 34-42. This was the early.
So they're 76 games in.
Yeah. So we're at the halfway point.
I mean,
July
4th,
the mile marker says you're halfway home.
Awfully tough to see them turning around, getting back to the playoffs.
Well, you're 11 games out, 10 and a half games out of Kansas City. The wild card race is, probably you could justify it in your own mind. You could be part of that. The one thing that stops you from, abandoning all hope, I think that I'm with you, okay? But let me say this. I can understand why people look at this and think, look at the pitching we just got, we being the Sox. This is them speaking, not me. Look at the pitching we just got from
You sure that's not you?
Our starting pitchers two nights in a row. And if Jeff Samardzija can be that guy, you look at Sunday, and he was really solid for a long stretch, and had Robin Ventura acted in the way most people thought he should, you'd be looking at three dominant starts out of the last four games.
I just think they're done.
No, the last three games.
I just think they're done.
Carlos Rodon comes back. When you have starting pitching that potentially good, you believe anything's possible. I don't know that anything is, but I understand why people would look at this St. Louis series and think, maybe things aren't as bad as they seem. I get it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Mark Gonzalez, friend of mine.
I know
him. Do you know Mark?
Yes, I do.
Chicago Cubs apparently have backed up their mission to be aggressive during the first day of the international signing period. According to MLB.com, Cubs have agreed to terms with Jonathan Sierra Estiwal, giving him a $2.5 million bonus. Estiwal is a 16-year-old left-handed hitting outfielder from the Dominican Republic. Blair, like a year, should be getting a deal like this. He's 15.
Yeah, but he's not a shortstop with 30-30 potential.
Cubs, this guy's an outfielder. Left-handed hitting outfielder. Cubs also agreed to terms with infielder Aramis Edelman. Aramis Edelman. I wonder if he's half Jewish. Dominican Republic to a $2 million contract. Shortstop Jonathan Perlaza of Venezuela, a $1.3 million bonus. Catcher Miguel Amaya of Venezuela, $1.25
million. Bottom line,
they've spent over $8 million and they get 100% penalty for everything over their pool, which is 3.35 or 3.5.
That's the bottom line. And why is that significant?
Because they just spent like $13 million on 16-year-old kids.
Right. See, that's the thing I think that, and we had our discussion yesterday with Rick Morrissey, and I think that when you look at what the Cubs are doing, they're not being limited by funds. They're not being, paralyzed by the price tag. And that's, to me, today underscores this. When you spend $8 million on teenage talent from Latin America, you have a commitment there that is costly, but you think it's a good investment, right? That's $8.2 million just in the contracts. The penalties will make that commitment.
Unless I'm wrong, I just read the penalties on the MLB.com write-up on this. The penalty is anything over your slot, you pay a certain penalty. If you go 15% or more over your slot. So the Cubs was roughly $3.4 million, 3.5.
Yeah.
So if you go 15% or more over, you pay a 100% luxury tax.
Dollar for dollar.
And for the next 2 years, they cannot spend more than $300,000 on a player.
That's a lot. So they're going to pay in the upwards of $12, $13 million for this. So that's significant money. That is
crazy.
Let's get to the phones. Let's take a Sox call.
Rich in Antioch.
All right, let's
Rich,
go to
what's
Rich.
Going on, Smokey?
Hey, Rich.
Not much there, Dapper.
How you doing there, Scooter?
I'm good. Listen, I come from the days of Have your pencils and scorecards ready.
So let's see if David or Mike know who that is. Hold on, don't say anything. Who said get your pencils? Well, I'll give you the correct lineup for today's ball game.
Wrigley Field.
Who was the guy?
Pat Piper.
I didn't want you to answer it, Rich. I wanted
Piper,
these
Rich.
Two groups to answer
sorry.
It. All right, go ahead.
Okay, listen, I watch the games with Sale pitching. And this guy, you know, I would love to see him on the Cubs, but if they'd have to give up a lot. And every time I think about it, yeah, it'd be great. But I see this guy falling apart on the first pitch. That's all I can see. Now, I understand, and I appreciate good ball players. I'm a diehard Cub fan from the days of Dee Fondi and all the boys. My aunt used to do birthday cakes for Hartnett and the boys on the third baseline. That's how far back we go. Diehard, just like you are, Cap. I don't know, maybe even more. But I was out there those days, and I see nothing but pain when they pan him in between innings when he isn't pitching and then got to go out to the mound. That pain looks to me like I should be making $20 million a year. How come he gets the feet? When does he go arbitrate? I mean, this poor guy is pitching his brains out. He's the only reason why the Sox are watched at all. The attendance is not a true attendance. We have to pay the freight on it with the taxes. Nobody knows about that, or if it's very limited that anybody knows. What is going on there? This poor kid is pitching his brains out, and he's getting nothing out of it.
Well, Rich,
I wouldn't say nothing.
I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Rich. See you, buddy.
What's he getting? $6 million?
Yeah, probably $6 million.
He agreed to that deal, Rich. Well, he signed it.
He signed it because he wanted to remove. Thanks, Rich. Sorry about the.
He wanted to remove any hint of he had an injury that he'd be set for life.
Peace of mind. Not every athlete. Goes
I asked him if
that.
He regrets it not too long ago.
We asked him on the show,
and he said absolutely not.
No, I don't think so. I think Rich is looking for something. If you're seeing pain over the loss of income between innings, I don't think Chris Sale's thinking about his contract when he's mowing people down at a record rate.
He's not.
He may be upset about certain things, maybe the lack of run support. He's not that kind of guy. He gets mad if you ask him about the lack of run support. I don't think that he's a guy that is a me guy. So I don't know if that's accurate to look at him and say, boy, I see a guy that really is unhappy about his financial dire straits. He'll get paid if he avoids injury. And if he doesn't avoid injury, then he'll feel comforted by the fact that he took the security early. You know, he could have probably held out for more. Obviously, if Clayton Kershaw is worth what he's worth, what's Chris Sale worth?
Yeah.
He's 100.
Clayton Kershaw got 210.
You know, Chris Sale's probably a $175 million pitcher. He settled for 32. It's a lot of money to leave on the table. I don't think he's thinking about that, though, when he's going to pitch.
Maybe he should have met with Brandon Saad. 312-235-2525. Speaking
of
Brandon Saad, Jamal Mayers is going to join us.
Good.
Blackhawks analyst, CSN Chicago, and TSN in Canada.
You were wrong. Rick Ocasek was never married to Heather Locklear.
Really?
No.
She was married to someone from the Cars.
No, it was the other. No, it wasn't the Cars, because you're thinking of Rick Ocasek was married to Paula.
Paulina Poroskova?
Yeah, Paulina Poroskova. I knew you'd know the name of the model. It was a model. And you're getting killed. Ricky Simbora is who she was married to. You're getting killed
sorry.
On the text line.
Sorry.
Getting killed. And it was 1982, not 1986. I just still liked it in 1986, okay? And if it came out in 1982, I was too young to appreciate it. I still like the Cars in 1986. Shake it up.
Yeah, she was married to Ricky Simbora in 1994 to 2007.
So you just
and
have
Tommy Lee before that.
Yeah. I don't know Heather where you got the Heather Locklear reference there.
I don't know. I thought she was married to who's Richie Sambora?
Maybe the Cars music makes you think of Heather Locklear. I don't know. Maybe that takes you back to a time in your life where you used to, you know.
Richie Sambora with Bon Jovi?
I think so.
I think he was the guitar singer for Bon Jovi for 30 years.
He might have been living on a prayer there for a while.
By the way, my buddy David Flom at Chicago Cut.
Yeah.
So he's got this cool boat that he goes on when he wants to relax because he works like insane hours. He gets a phone call the other day. I'm not kidding you because I have the picture to prove it. He gets a phone call the other day from a guy who ate dinner there who was in town performing. He said, were you serious about taking my family out on your boat? He's like, absolutely. He goes, can we do it today? He's like, done. I'll meet you at the pier. Here's the address. Here's where you're going. Tell your driver to get you over there. Send me a picture.
Tony Bennett?
Bono.
Really?
Bono. Bono hanging out on his boat the other day. Is that crazy?
Was he with Jimmy?
Hey, by the way.
I think didn't Jimmy DeCastro say he was hanging out with Bono?
He did.
Yeah.
Sports Talk Live tonight, 5:30. I'll have it for you. Sportsnet Central tonight, 6:30. Miami at the Cubbies tomorrow. CSN live from the bleachers with Len and JD. And pre- and post-game, Holly and I will have on-the-field coverage starts on CSN. Cubs pregame live at 12:30 tomorrow. Orioles at Sox tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on CSN. Take time out. Jamal Mayers and your calls next.